Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Vivian, thank you very much. Now, members of the Independent Scientific Advocacy Group, which supports a zero COVID strategy, have written to the Irish Times this morning, challenging a point made by columnist Mark Paul in relation to mandatory hotel quarantine. And I'm joined on the line by Tomás Ryan, Associate Professor in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology in Trinity and member of ISAG. And we'll also talk to Mark Paul, business columnist with the Irish Times. Good morning to you, first of all, Tomás Ryan. Thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. You took issue with what Mark Paul had to say. Essentially, he thinks that quarantine is an absolute disaster. He says that ministers were browbeaten into implementing it to assuage an angry and frightened public. What do you say?
Well, first of all, I think it's really important that the conversation that we have on COVID-19 in Ireland is a discussion that's informed by the evidence. And we're not going to get anywhere if we keep setting it up as this sort of oppositional debate. It shouldn't be a debate. We all want the same thing. We want to reduce case numbers, to prevent the health damage, to prevent further deaths, and importantly, of course, to prevent surges that will lead to more time and restrictions. We want to get out of restrictions. And for that, we need an evidence-based policy that is informed by best public health that has been around for hundreds of years and has been shown to work in the case of COVID-19 in countries like South Korea, in countries like Vietnam, in China and Australia, in New Zealand, and in the eastern provinces of Canada. Now, fundamental to managing any pandemic is preventing the introduction of the virus. Now, we know from the first wave of COVID-19 in Ireland that we eliminated all of the variants that were part of the first wave in early 2020. We reintroduced other variants, mainly that originated in Spain during the summer, which slowly seeded our second wave. And then as we opened up in our third wave, we flooded the country with the B117 British variant, which completely changed how we needed to manage the pandemic thereafter. And now today, we are at significant risk of the what we call the Brazilian variant, the P1 variant, and also the South African variant, mm-hmm. both of which have significant immune evasion properties. It doesn't mean the vaccines don't work at all. It means the vaccines work significantly less effectively on these variants, and other variants like these are evolving right now. We need to keep these variants out so that our vaccine program can be effective. So the choice we need to make is, first of all, based on the premise that the vaccines are an absolutely wonderful tool and incredibly effective tool, because the vaccines we have not only completely stop severe COVID-19 and death in people who've been vaccinated, but they also significantly, but not entirely, prevent the spread of the virus in the population. So we have a decision to make. We can either create an environment that maximizes the chances of the vaccines getting us out of this pandemic, or we can create a situation that makes it as difficult as possible for the vaccines to return us to some kind of normality. Now, mandatory hotel quarantine is a proven effective way of keeping variants out. It's the view of ISAG that this needs to be applied to all travel origins. And it's inconvenient. It's draconian. We'd rather not have to do it. But we've all been under significant
and you say it's essential. I will come back to you in a moment, but I want to get Mark Paul's view on this. And Mark Paul, I don't know if you heard Tomás at the very beginning there, where he said that what he is saying and the measures that are being taken are based on the evidence. They're based on the facts. And you don't choose your facts in when you're dealing with a pandemic.
No, you don't. But there are two huge facts in relation to this. One is that we share a 300-mile land border with Northern Ireland and the UK. And the other one is that we're a member of the European Union. Those are immovable facts. And I agree with a lot of what Tomás has said. But what I don't agree with is that Ireland can act as some sort of a lone ranger within the European Union on this. This was always the problem. And we see now, by introducing mandatory hotel quarantine for European Union countries, Ireland now today is at the centre of a diplomatic disaster zone as a relation. In relation to this, the European Commission is on top of the government over it. The governments of Italy, of Belgium, of Austria, of France, these are countries that we're going to have relationships with for a long, long time. And when you introduce a policy like
this... But just because they're complaining about it doesn't mean they're right.
Just because they're complaining about it doesn't mean they're right. Well, look, you can't ignore the fact that Ireland can't set itself up as some sort of a virus-free Narnia or Tiernan Og in the middle of the European Union. I mean, Gerry Killeen, one of Tomás Ryan's colleagues on ISAG, he said the other day that Ireland should come in place mandatory hotel quarantine for the next 1.5 years at least. Now, I just don't think that that's doable. And you know, Tomás laid out what I agreed with was, you know, a sort of a logical scientific rationale, but what that ignores and completely ignores, and these are facts, that there is also a political rationale, there's a legal rationale, an economic rationale, and a civil liberties rationale. And the benefit of taking... The benefit has to outweigh the cost of taking a decision like this. And we can't ignore the fact that there are enormous costs to mandatory hotel quarantine. There are costs to civil liberties. I mean, there are costs to... there are economic costs. And there are all sorts of costs that you can't just pretend don't exist. Those are facts, just as very important.
All right, well, let Tomás deal with them then. And the two main ones that you introduced there, we can't act unilaterally. We're a member of the EU. And also this border that we have on the island of Ireland where people can travel freely over and back and into the UK and onwards.
Well, actually, we can, because those are political issues which we have control over. What we don't have control over is nature, is the real world where the virus lives. Now, with respect to cost-benefit analysis, the benefit would be 7,000 less dead people on the island of Ireland. The benefit would be spending most of last year not in lockdown as we have been doing, but in a freer type of situation. Now, Mark Paul is giving a reactionary argument to saying we have to value the economy, and we value the economy by not pretending that we can control the virus perfectly. And of course, we can't control the virus perfectly, but they're not. People who come from this angle are not offering an alternative strategy. What they're offering is a vision of 2019. Now, of course, if your reference point is 2019, then any proactive public health measures are going to seem that they're getting in the way. They're going to seem draconian. But the reference point is not 2019. The reference point is 2020 and 2021 until now, which has been awful economically, awful for mental health and awful for public health.
Yeah, how robust is the system anyway? I just see Mary Regan from the RT newsroom reporting that the regulations exempting elite athletes from the requirement to quarantine in a hotel, they've been signed into law. We know that very shortly people who have been fully vaccinated, they won't have to enter into hotels either when they arrive in the country. We've various other exemptions. We've people challenging it in the courts. I mean, what use is it really, Tomás?
Well, I think that there's a lot of problems with the logistics of how we set up the mandatory hotel quarantine system in Ireland right now. That can be fixed. Look at how well it works in Australia. There are exemptions for mandatory hotel quarantine in Australia, but only under very extreme conditions for compassionate reasons. And it's very informative to look at the Australian situation. I think it's also important to look at every serious economic analysis. I don't mean just a journalist saying, oh, we have to look at the economy. I mean, serious economists doing analysis in think tanks and universities and even in management consultancies such as McKinsey, without exception, have shown that countries that have reduced the virus numbers have improved economic outcomes for the countries that they're in. And no, we don't have control over the Northern Ireland border, but if we manage it, we can significantly improve the situation. It doesn't mean zero COVID. You're not going to get zero COVID like New Zealand unless you have an all-island approach.
Okay.
But if we did manage, if we did have mandatory hotel quarantine and we managed things within the island more effectively, we could have a situation that would be much more like Finland or Norway, which means much less death, much less health problems, and a more open economy than we do now.
Mark Paul, what do you say to that? That serious people, serious economists understand that you need to bring down the case numbers, the spread of the virus, in order to reopen?
I think, look, the actual real economic figures, as opposed to anybody's opinion, shows that Ireland was one of the best performing economies in Europe last year and is on target to be one of the best performing economies in Europe this year. So that is actually a fact. I'm always suspicious of arguments and isolationist arguments, lone ranger arguments. I mean, if this was such an obvious slam dunk for governments to do this, then why is Ireland the only government in Europe doing this? No other country in Europe is doing this. And that is for a reason. It's because it doesn't work politically, it doesn't work legally, it doesn't work from a civil liberties perspective, and it's disproportionate to the risk. And to sort of lay out that there is a sort of immovable, immutable scientific rationale for this. I mean, there are scientists who also disagree with what Tomás says. I mean, in the Irish Times the other day, we published a letter from a consultant in St. Vincent's Hospital who said it was disproportionate to the infection risk. So you have to look at the policy, this policy on its own in isolation. Is it worth it? Is it worth what we're getting? I think we've picked up 18 COVID cases since it's been introduced. How many COVID cases have we had since then? 12, 15,000 we've reported. So you've got to look at it in that context.
But in those 18, there were a number of variants, though, of concern.
There were four variants of concern. But if ISAG wants us to shut down the country for 1.5 years in order to keep that out, variants of concern may be dealt with by second generation vaccines. They're already working on them. I think ISAG sets this up as the only option, and I just don't agree that it's the only option.
Okay.
And if it's such a slam dunk and so obvious, no one else is doing this.
All right, I've got to leave it there. Thank you both very much, Tomás Ryan, and also to Mark Paul. And I'm joined now by Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South. Billy Kelleher, I'm sure you heard Mark Paul there saying that we're in the midst of a diplomatic disaster. The European Commission has been in touch with the government expressing their concerns. People will have heard this morning on Morning Ireland, the Italian ambassador, who is also very upset on behalf of his people about this. And yet the health minister says he makes no apologies to either the EU or the Italians for the move. What's your own view?
Well, I mean, the Minister for Health is first obligation is to the health of the Irish people, and I mean, they are making the decisions around hotel quarantining. The obligations of from travellers from some countries having to do that is part of the public health advice. But I don't think we have to over-exaggerate that this is an unmitigated PR diplomatic disaster. Countries across the European Union have protected themselves at varying times. The French closed the border against the Germans, vice versa. The Danes did the same with Germany. You know, countries have acted unilaterally from time to time when there was genuine concerns about the health of their own populations. We clearly want to get to a situation where, you know, there's free movement of people. But in the meantime, we do have restrictions. We have restrictions within countries, like just in Ireland up until recently, we had a 5K limit. We have these restrictions across Germany in terms of some parts of Germany not being able to move beyond their own regions as well. So, human rights and their
freedom. But we are the only country to have done this, the mandatory hotel quarantine move.
Yes,
and the Italian ambassador says that it's selective and discriminatory, and he wants to know why were we picked? Why were we picked to be first on the list when it comes to those who have to quarantine?
And I think that is a very fair point. I mean, I think that the issue, and I'd like to note as well, is that what criteria is used to identify which country, is obliged to quarantine when citizens arrive from there? Bear in mind, we don't discriminate for citizens. We discriminate on country of origin. So, in other words, any person coming from Italy, any person coming from France has to quarantine other than very, very selective exemptions. But overall, I do believe that, look, ambassadors have a role to play. They must advocate for their citizens in other countries, and they must represent their government's view. But let's be clear, you know, lots of countries have suspended what is normal, everyday freedoms and fundamental rights from time to time during this pandemic. It's not nice, but sometimes it is necessary. And I think that the quarantining is only short-term, Claire. I don't believe it's going to be there long-term. You know, we have now agreed...
I don't know how anyone can say how long it's going to be there for. Because if it's meant to keep out variants, we don't know how effective these vaccines are against the existing variants of concern and those that might crop up down the line.
Yes, but Claire, I mean, there is no doubt. I mean, we're exempting now people who have been vaccinated from...
Yeah, is that a good idea?
Well, look, I personally believe it is. I think that, you know, we have to put some faith in our vaccination programs across the globe. We have to also allow people to travel. If we are to wait for the last variant to be vaccinated against in the globe, well, then we will be forever in this sort of suspended state of not having an open economy across the entire European Union.
Mm-hmm. I suppose are looking at this, there's no point in us having one foot in the mandatory hotel quarantine regime and one foot out of it. You know, we're either doing it or we're not.
Yes, but Claire, I think the first thing we have to accept is that until we have our vulnerable cohorts vaccinated, and that will happen fairly quickly. You know, we're well into the completion of the vulnerable cohorts, the elderly cohorts, and other high risk groupings. And once we get into the general population, start vaccinating that over the next number of months, well, very quickly, you know, we have to accept that we have to start returning to some form of normality. Yes, there will be risks. and other variants may come in. But at the same time, you'd like to believe that the vaccination systems in place, plus the new technologies that have been on board with Pfizer, mm-hmm. Moderna, and others, that can identify very quickly and create new vaccines for new variants. You know, all of these things are coming on stream. So I think, as Dr. Michael Ryan once said, perfection is the enemy of good when it comes to emergency responses. You know, we could be perfect in everything and end up doing nothing, or we could do what we believe is right and what is proportionate. Okay. And having vaccination programs in place and allowing people who are vaccinated to travel into the country and out of the country, I think is the right thing to
all
do.
Right. And we know that's going to happen. All right,
card,
Billy
yes.
Keller, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much for joining us. We're going to be taking you out into the garden after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.